Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show, Sports Radio 99, the game. Kia Studios, Falcons Friday. Going to get the Saints side of the story, I know. But we still got to do it. We'll do that in a minute here. But as we count down to Hate Week and our coverage, which begins with the Wait For Tailgate Show, goes into the Bud Light countdown to kickoff, and then to, of course, the game at 1 o'clock, Mike Connie and Hugh Douglas with the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 11.
Woohoo!
Wes, Dave, John, call the game from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the far nicer Mercedes-Benz named stadium, is at 1 o'clock as we get ready for the Falcons and Saints. Let's go right now and get the inside story from the Falcons quarterback. Dave Archer goes first and 10 with Matt Ryan.
It's about our brotherhood, man. How tight we can get.
This is the first and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Matt, good to be with you again. Great win last weekend to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. Execution really kind of seems to be the operative word, I think. And it was something you talked about even going through the Philly week and into this last week. Hey, we're just going to stay the course. We're going to execute.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a long season. And, you know, you have to focus on trying to play your best week in and week out and getting better as we move forward. I thought we did that from week one to week two. And this is another great opportunity for us to kind of keep that ball rolling, keep the momentum going and showing what we're capable of as an offense.
Very distinctive look that you kind of knew what you're going to get from Carolina. This one might be a little bit more of an enigma because they were blown out in week two as far as or week one in offense. And then last week they played a little better defensively. What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a tale of two games in terms of coverage on the back end. Played a lot of man-to-man coverage in the first game, and then in the second game a lot more zone coverage. So we'll be prepared for both. We'll see how they come out and try and adjust to what we do. But at the end of the day, man or zone, it comes down to us making plays when we get our chances.
The offensive line played extremely well last weekend against arguably the best defensive front in the game. I think you could make an argument that group you saw last week is as good as there is. What does this group look like from a pressure standpoint and maybe what you'll see?
Well, they're different in terms of scheme. They give you a lot of different looks, and you know they stress you in terms of your mental preparation for the game, of understanding what our calls are and how we're going to protect certain looks. So that'll be a stress for us this week, but I think we've had an excellent week of prep, and we're ready to do it. But they also have some playmakers. I mean, you know, they've got some good players in the front four, some new linebackers, some talent at that position. So it's another good test for us.
It's a secondary that they kind of rebuilt over the last couple seasons, a couple guys in the draft a year ago that played extremely well for them. Do you anticipate that they'll be willing to let guys go one-on-one with maybe Julio Jones or Ridley or Sanu?
We'll see. You know, they have confidence in their guys in the back end. They played a lot of man-to-man coverage versus last year, and, you know, we'll see what the case is this year. Obviously, every year, every team is different. But I know they have faith in those guys in the back end. And we got confidence in our guys. So when we get those man-to-man opportunities, it's about making plays.
Tell me about your mindset. You've seen probably anything can be thrown at you in your career. How much is that as it's gone on in your career? Here we are in year 11. How much is that kind of become a settling factor for you as you go into any game, no matter what night or what day it is?
Yeah, it does. It makes you feel a lot more, you know, comfortable heading into a game, you know, understanding that you have experience on your side. And, you know, I think one thing experience teaches you is that you just have to trust what you see. You know, you can't anticipate them doing things right all the time. In this league, a lot of people mess up a lot. And, you know, you have to trust what you see in certain spots and let it rip when you get your chances. And that's what we've been trying to do. And I think that's what experience has taught me throughout the years.
This is one of those long-running rivalries. I think that most people that have been in the South know about the Saints-Falcons and the way the fan bases both travel back and forth. How much is that talked about nowadays? I know it was back when I played, and I know they don't travel up here. There'll be a lot of them in the stadium this weekend at Mercedes-Benz. How much do the players know about that and discuss that?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things. When you play in it over and over, you get a feel for it. And, you know, guys will talk about it during the week, that there's a lot of extra that goes along with these rivalry games. But they're fun. You know, as players, they're fun to be a part of that. You know, you like the atmosphere. You like that. It gets you going. So we'll enjoy the buildup and that part of it. But at the end of the day, you know, whoever it is that we're going against, it comes down to their 11 on our 11 out on the field.
Okay, I'll be remiss if I didn't ask you about the BC Eagles and what they're doing, ranked in the top 25. I think it's the first time they've been ranked since you were there. Tell me about what you think about Adazio's crew up there.
I'm fired up. They've been fun to watch. I got to watch a Thursday night game that they played against Wake Forest, and they look really good. So I'm happy for Steve and his staff up there. They've worked really hard. It looks like they got the program going in the direction they want, and you know, hopefully they can continue to be successful as the year goes on.
Last year was a cool year for BC because they hung up two of their greats. That was Matt Ryan and Luke Kuechly a year ago is retiring those numbers. So I'm sure you're hoping the BC Lions, or BC Lions, BC Eagles get the job done.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the old CFL. It's hard to take out of Dave there with the BC Lions. But Matt Ryan is going to go up against Drew Brees for the, record time, their 20th meeting, most ever by two quarterbacks in the post in the Super Bowl era, head-to-head. We are joined now by John DeShazer. He's a senior writer at Saints.com, and he joins us this morning on the WayForward.com hotline. Talk a little bit about the game on Sunday. Welcome to the show, John.
Man, good to be here. You guys are pulling out the big guns on Friday. I'm Matt Ryan and me.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Right there, but I'll take it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So I know up here my partner has been really hating on the Saints all week long. Is it the same down there where you are right now?
No, I mean, nobody down here is talking about 28-3 or Lombardi Trophy or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they would never do that here in New Orleans. There's just too much class in this city for that kind of thing.
I can tell you, Arthur Trist, he's our program. He's programming the show. He's over there laughing very, very hard about that. He's a Saints fan, by the way.
That's my guy, AT.
We're talking about this game this week. I see some of the discussions, John DeShazer, senior writer of Saints.com, about your offense. And, you know, Cleveland's got a pretty good defense. I think they're proving that. But it's been a bit of a struggle without Mark Ingram for the Saints to get their running game going, but 105 yards in two games. Is that a kind of a point of contention right now with the club?
Well, it is, but it isn't. I mean, and that's got to sound a little odd. It is because of the production that you see on paper. But what happens is Alvin Kamara's got 15 catches for 165 yards. And a lot of that is the essentially long handoff parts of the run game. Now, what you can't get between the tackles and you can't get, you know, on the edge with him handing it off, you get it to him on swing passes and screen passes and get him in open space against linebackers. So the Saints really have utilized over in past years that part of their offense as an extension of the running game. However, last year, the way they ran the ball with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, it allowed them to control the clock a lot, and it gave them a lot more offensive balance. So from that standpoint, you want the attempts to be up, and that's one of the things that the Saints have been good about. When they've been a winning team, the attempts have been up. They only had, like, 13 rushing attempts in the season opener against Tampa Bay, and then they got it up to 23 last week against Cleveland. You know, if they're in the 25 to 32 range, they feel pretty good because they feel like they're pretty balanced. If you got Drew Brees throwing it 45, 50 times, and you're only running it 18, 17, then that's not a good balance on any Sunday, and you're fortunate to win. And, you know, Sean Payton said that, hey, when they've been that team, then that's when they've been a 500 team, and they've been throwing it that much, and they've been, you know, kind of going up and down the field and, you know, playing offense, you know, trying to win a shootout and that kind of thing. So they want to get some more balance, but I don't think they're alarmed, you know, at the attempts or the per yards average per carry, I should say. But I think they do want to get the attempts up.
You know, I know that this isn't, you know, we got to still have a lot of football left to be played. But does this game feel like it's a must-win between these two teams?
Well, I think so. I mean, you're talking about, you know, when you're the Saints, think about this. They're 1-1. They've already lost one game in the division. You don't want to be 1-2 and those two losses be in the division. I mean, the NFC South, man, these guys, you know, this is a volatile division. And it's rare that a team repeats as division champs. These folks know each other. They beat up on each other. And if you're two games in the hole in this division, it's tough to climb out when you're trying to win the division. And we all know that the first step to the playoffs is winning your division. Being 0-2 in a division is going to be big time to overcome. So I know the same. I don't know if they'll, you know, of course, you know, three games to the season, they won't call it a must win. But this is pretty critical for the Saints. I mean, I don't know how the Falcons feel about it, but you don't want to be 0-2 in the division. I know that.
I'm pretty sure I can tell you right now the Falcons feel the same way. But when we talk about this division, did you guys down there think that we would be talking about right now in this early season with so many problems that this team is having, that we'd be saying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the class of the division right now? Were you guys thinking that down there?
Man, don't make me cuss this morning. I mean, who figured that? Who figured that? I mean, think about it. You're the number one overall pick, your quarterback is suspended the first three games. So you're going into the season. Now, don't get me wrong. Ryan Fitzpatrick's been in the league 14 years. But, you know, I would kind of term him as a journeyman, just kind of a dude. He's had some days, but I just say he's, you know, just kind of a guy. But, you know, the 2-0 and the way they won and the way Ryan Fitzpatrick has run that offense, and you hear whispers behind the scene that, you know, hey, they kind of like him a whole lot. And that ain't saying they don't like Jameis, but that ain't saying that they love him as much as they like Fitzpatrick. I mean, yeah, Fitzpatrick running that offense because, you know, one thing you'll notice with Tampa Bay now, you know, all lo and behold, now all of a sudden they get the ball to DeSean Jackson deep. And they weren't doing that with Jameis Winston. So I think that's one of the things that opened them up. Well, man, if you told me Tampa Bay was going to be 2-0 coming out of the gate with the Saints on the road and then Philly at home, I'd have been, you know, I'd have said some words that I couldn't say on the radio.
No, I think a lot of us would, because we were all looking at it with the Steelers coming up this week. Oh, that's 0-3 until Jameis comes back. It could be 3-0 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're talking with John DeShazer. He's a senior writer at Saints.com with John and Hugh on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, I know what Drew Brees has said, because I can, you know, read it and hear it. And he's talking about, well, even without Keanu Neal and Deion Jones, you know, the Falcons defense is blah, blah, blah. But we also know here in town that the LSU guy, Debo, is a Saints killer. It's one of the reasons that we love him so much, because he kills you guys. And so without him, you got to be thinking down in New Orleans, you guys are going to put up 400 yards and something, right?
Well, the Saints offensively didn't do anything last week to be feeling chesty about this week. Okay. I mean, granted, Cleveland's a little bit better defensively, I think, than you know, maybe people thought they might be, and maybe Cleveland's even a little bit better team than folks thought they were going to be. But the Saints got like, you know, the Saints didn't roll up 300 yards against Cleveland. They struggled. They left a couple of touchdowns on the field, and I don't think they're feeling necessarily chesty. Now, you say that, but not having Deion Jones and not having Keanu Neal is big, because, you know, Drew Brees, we know that dude's going to the Hall of Fame, and if there's a mismatch, you know, he's capable of finding it. And so, you know, that's a, you know, I don't want to call it a deficiency for the Falcons, but it's something that, you know, it's certainly not as strong, those two positions, as they were. And if there's a guy who can find it and who can exploit it, you figure it'd be Drew Brees. So you want to say you get on track, but, you know, one, it's hard to win on the road in the NFL. We all know that. And two, the Saints were not sharp offensively whatsoever against Cleveland. So, you know, I don't know if how good they feel. You know, they didn't feel good about winning that game at all. I mean, the mood was almost as if they lost. The only thing they liked was the scoreboard. Other than that, they didn't like a whole lot about that game at all. So I don't know if they feel great about, you know, what they did offensively. They always feel pretty confident. Hopefully they can get it back on the roll. But, man, they ain't overly confident going into this one. I can tell you that.
John, I just want to let you know, don't let John DeShazer lure you into a false sense of security. I mean, that's what he's trying to do right now.
That's what
he's trying to do right now. Don't let him do that.
No, don't let him do that. Drew Brees has been playing long enough to where he won't take anything for granted. You know, we've seen, I have, with my eyes, I have seen the Saints some games where you would basically write down a W before the game, and it's like, oh, what happened right there? So I've seen my share of those, and I know this team, you know, they just, you know, he won't look at it that way. Now, some of the young guys, I think that's what happened when they came into the season. And granted, again, Tampa's probably a little bit better than we thought they might be at this point. But that defense, I know they were a little swollen chested going into the season based off what happened last season. And guys like Drew Brees are always saying, you ain't guaranteed anything season to season. You got to do it all over again. And I think the young guys are kind of figuring that out. You have to do it all over again. You got to prove yourself every week.
John DeShazer is the senior writer for Saints.com. He's headed to Atlanta. It'll be the only trip that New Orleans makes to Atlanta this season to play football. I'm just stating fact, John.
I like how you did that, though, John. I like how you did that. The only trip they're making to
Now, the Saints have won a Super Bowl in Miami. Winning one in Atlanta will be the ultimate, I don't know if you want to call it a smack in the face. I don't know what you would call that.
Slap across the lips. You had it right. Yeah, slap a lip.
I don't know if, you know, because you can't blow up the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there after you've already blown up the Georgia Dome. So I don't know where the Falcons will play after that.
We'd stick a MARTA bus in front of you and call it good. All right. Never mind.
That was just bad.
I mean,
that was bad.
We'll see what we've got in the last 10 seconds of this interview. The Saints come in. We talk about how this is shaping up, and Hugh and I were talking about this morning, John, about it looks like on paper that this is going to be like the first game that you played 48-42 or whatever. But why do we get a sneaky feeling that it's going to be a tight game, that it might be not the shootout that we think it is?
Coming down to the last possession.
Well, it usually is with these two teams, man. It's usually, you know, it's down to the last possession, and, you know, it might be 23-21 or 28-24 or something like that. But, I don't think it's going to be a shootout from that standpoint. I mean, usually, you know, even when these teams hadn't been great defensively, they've been able to defend each other. And I think a part and parcel of that is, you know, it's a division opponent. One, you can't stand each other. And two, it's somebody you know everything about. So it's like, you know, it's the closest the NFL has to a Friday night football rivalry.
John, we appreciate it. We're all looking forward to Sunday. Thanks for taking a minute. Do appreciate it.
Being
a good sport,
you guys
too.
Thank you.
You're the man.
Yeah, he is a good sport about all of it. What choices he have? We are talking about the big events this weekend.
You know, AT hasn't really said a whole lot all day, though, about none of this. AT ain't really talked trash all week long.
No, he hasn't.
He ain't said nothing. I think he's going to say something today, though, because it's Friday. He's going to say something today.
We'll find out who he picks.
Oh, come on now. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know who he's going to pick.
Yeah. Who you going to pick, John?
We'll do that in about 27 minutes, we'll tell you. Next, though, we're going to talk a little bit about Atlanta United. We mentioned huge week. Go to our Twitter at 929TheGame and vote on what the big event of the week is. We'll talk to Colin Smoke and Egg Rap.
If it's Friday. We're talking Falcons.
This is Friday, remember?
Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What a weekend in Atlanta. Tour championship, Braves trying to lock down the NL East, Clemson's in town.
Falcons Friday.
It is hate week, and a big game tomorrow night. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be jumping over the weekend with Atlanta United and Real Salt Lake. Now, this is a Real Salt Lake team coming in. You can hear the game, of course, right here on the home of the Five Stripes with our pregame coverage starting at 6:30 with Mike Conley and Jason Longshore, and the kick is at 7 tomorrow night. This Real team comes in. They've been red hot lately, and so it looks like sort of like another shootout here on paper with all the goals Real Salt Lake has been posting up here. I think back-to-back games where they had 6 goals in back-to-back games each game. We welcome into the program, the WaveFord.com hotline, Carlos Bocanegra, Technical Director of Atlanta United.
Good morning, Los.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. Los, have you ever been a part of a game or a match where the refs reviewed a play that happened 2 minutes earlier?
I have not been a part of that type of game. I was hoping you were going to ask me about our fantasy football matchup this week, actually.
Oh.
You know what? I didn't read the reports this week. I didn't get a chance. How are we doing?
Doing all right.
You're vested in this, aren't you?
Biggest game of the year for us last week, beat Darren Eels. That was the most important matchup of the season.
Oh, I should have known, because you want to brag a little bit. Okay, so.
Yeah, all right. I was hoping you'd ask about
that. We got you.
It was really strange looking in the game the night. That doesn't happen very often. I've never been a part of that. It's part of it now. The VAR is very much part of the game, and that's how it goes. Look, we were on the good end of that last on Wednesday, so it was a positive.
So what was it about San Jose that they were able to jump out the way that they did on you guys?
It wasn't so much that they jumped out on us. You know, we were doing a good job. We were pressing them. We were all over them. And then, we made some individual mistakes and kind of switched off for a second, and that happens sometimes. But I'll tell you what, the resilience from these guys, the fight back, it was excellent to see.
Carlos Bocanegra joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Atlanta United coming from off the deck. What could have been a 4-1 deficit turns into a 4-3 win on the road in San Jose. They win back-to-back road games. Now they return home to face Real Salt Lake tomorrow night. And you just ticking them off here in terms of playoff position.
Yeah, I mean, the fight of these guys, I want to talk a little bit more about Wednesday. Going on a road trip like that, that's not normal for soccer. We're over in Colorado, then on to San Jose. So it was about a 7-day road trip. The guys are out of town. You know, the mental strength of these guys to come back, like you said, it looked like we were down 4-1, and it was 3-2, and just they kept pushing, and then you saw the scenes after the game of all the guys embracing each other, and you know, just the team spirit and everything. It's at an all time high right now. So we've got to ride this wave and use that emotion tomorrow against Salt Lake and then into the playoffs.
Carlos, you're a little pumped about you're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. You're not trying to get too excited, but you're real pumped about the end of this season, aren't you? That's coming up close.
I'm pumped up, man. I'm pumped. It was that game of the night was, you know, hopefully a game changer, so to speak, as they call it. But really proud of the guys, really proud of the group. Mentally to battle back, just it was a great feeling, and there's a great feeling around the club right now. So, yes, pumped for tomorrow night, 70,000 in the building, pumped for the playoffs coming up. But, it's a good moment right now for us.
And also pumped that he beat Darren Eels in fantasy football. It's a good week. It's been a good week for Carlos Bocanegra.
That was icing on the cake as well, yeah.
So, wait a second. Did I hear you correctly? Carlos, you're going up against Rick Camlin and Hugh Douglas this week?
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure who we're going up against this week.
I don't know. Rick Camlin handles that. Rick Camlin handles all that. Rick Camlin handles that.
I'll have to ask him how he's doing. Carlos, as you look at your club here and get ready for Real Salt Lake, we mentioned Real Salt Lake has been scoring at a phenomenal clip, and they have come off the deck to make a huge run at a playoff spot.
Yeah, they've done a good job. Mike Petke over there in charge, who's a great player in the league, a lot of fight, a lot of heart. Very much a motivator as a coach and as a player, and he's got his group playing for him. They've got a good young squad. They've got a lot of young Americans on the team, and he's doing well with them, anchored by Nick Raimondo in the goal, Kyle Beckerman, another veteran on their team. So, yeah, look, it's going to be a challenge for us. We can't sleep on these guys this weekend. But, look, like I said, we're in a good moment, and we've got to keep going.
So what's the matchup I need to look for this weekend?
Matchup, Kyle Beckerman in the midfield, holding midfield against Miguel Amarone, or whoever plays kind of in the attacking midfield role for us, is always a good matchup. Nick Raimondo, excellent shot stopper, excellent. If a penalty kick is called, he is, I believe, the all-time leader in penalty kick saves in the MLS. So that will be something interesting to watch out for as well. But, look, we've got to be on the front foot. We're at home, 70,000 behind us, and we've got to push forward against these guys.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra as Atlanta United gets set to host Real Salt Lake. And now the final push coming, final five games of the regular season. No fair peeking ahead to the game against Red Bulls in just over a week. But you could put a lot of pressure on them if you can win tomorrow night.
Yeah, we can. Look, I mean, we're fortunate. It's in our hands. It's in our destiny. If we win, we put pressure on them. But we can see it out. And we've got I think it's a 4-point cushion now. Against these guys. So, look, it's our – and excuse me, that might be for the Champions League, but that's our goal is to win the Supporters Shield, to win the MLS Cup, qualify for Champions League, and that's all in our hands right now. So the biggest thing is focusing on ourselves and concentrating. And you know what? We got to take it one game at a time.
Carlos, to Joseph Martinez, two goals in the last game, including the game winner off that brilliant strike with the head. Now 30 on the year, he's shattered the record. He keeps setting a new bar for Major League Soccer, but he is only four shy of the all-time record, which is 34 professional goals in a season, shared by three different guys. One of those guys is named Messi. He's got five games. Could he actually break the all-time record?
I don't know. I mean, it was. He's been excellent all season. I mean, you saw Miguel's ball at the end of the game against San Jose. It just set him up on a platter, and he took care of business finishing it. So, we try not to talk too much about the records here and individual accolades, but he's been excellent all year. Very proud of him. All the players around him have set him up and put him in good positions, and we'll see. We'll see where he goes. But, you know, you never know with this guy. He's been on fire, so it's great for us.
All right, so he has been on fire. He's got the 30, but you see Miguel starting to really find, you know, he went through that period of time this year where Miggy was having a hard time getting it on frame or was getting bad breaks. And the same kind of with Tito and some of the other guys. But you're seeing some of the other guys step up and score, you know, in terms of being able to help out on the offensive end. It's not just all Joseph. That's got to be – let me put it to you this way, Carlos. Do you see your team starting to offensively become not less one-dimensional, but more widespread and where you can attack on both sides of the box?
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. Yes, it's a great time. If these guys catch form, at the end of the season, going into a playoff run, I mean, that's excellent for us. Tito's goal is fantastic on midweek. You know, Miguel, like you said, has kind of hit his stride. Joseph scoring goals. It's difficult, man. You can't focus in on one guy, which is helpful for us. So all those are positives for sure.
All right. Well, we certainly look forward to the game tomorrow night. You say 70,000 fans in one of those open games where it's a whole stadium, right?
It's always a packed house.
Yep.
Going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to it. And, of course, the game is on 92.9 The Game. Thanks, Carlos. We look forward to the game. Talk to you next week ahead of that Red Bull showdown. Thanks much.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Carlos Bocanegra joining us on the WaveFord.com hotline. And that is one of the big events this week and this gigantic weekend here in Atlanta. And that's why we're asking you on our Twitter at 92.9 The Game. Huge weekend ahead. So what is the biggest event going on in Atlanta this weekend? Is it the Falcons and Saints in Hate Week? Is it the Braves and Phillies, SunTrust Park, and the Braves can lock down the championship, the NL East, tomorrow night? Is it Atlanta United, Real Salt Lake? Is it the Tour Championship at East Lake where Tiger shares the lead with Ricky Fowler after one round? This is such a big week. We didn't even get the number three team, Hugh, in the nation in Clemson is in playing Georgia Tech tomorrow. They didn't even make the list of the top four events in town. Normally, if Clemson comes to town, that's like one or two.
It's a lot going on, John Freeman.
Man.
It's a lot going on, man, and it's a great weekend to have it. It's going to be a nice weekend. The weather looks like it's going to be in our favor, so it's going to be great. It's going to be a great time.
Great time. It's going to be a really interesting weekend.
And the Home Depot, like down there at Atlanta United.
Oh, clutch.
Think about that, boy. Oh, that's going to be awesome. That's going to take it to the next level because now you're going to have, like, I guess, two different party areas, the Gulch and the Home Depot backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I might need to just come down there and see if I can get some tailgate activity jumping off. That might be the move this weekend, D. Soccer fans are like, really awesome.
I'm gonna be there Sunday. I don't know if I can make it. I can't.
Yeah,
make
that's a back to back. Yeah, that's definitely a back to back. And it's not like we got stuff we had to do during the week. So you know,
right.
But it's gonna be a great time.
It's all
gonna be a great time.
Atlanta United, of course, trying to knock down, just click off stuff. As Carlos said, he said, we made the playoffs. We got a home playoff game. Now we want to clinch a first round bye. Then we want to get the supporter shield. Win the East. Get the supporter shield. Because that'll qualify them for the Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions League next year, where they'll play the champions from other countries, from Mexico and Brazil and Argentina and whatnot, which would be a great honor for Atlanta United. But it's really about winning the MLS Cup. And if you can put more distance between yourself, if you can win Saturday night, you could put so much pressure on Red Bulls for that showdown next week. You're not going to make the game irrelevant, but you could put them in a position where they have to win.
No matter what they do, yeah.
They have to win. You get the luxury of tie is great for you. You know?
But you know what? It's also good to hear, like, Carlos is really he's really kind of even keeled the whole time. You know, he doesn't get too excited. Pretty cool to hear him excited today. I don't know if it was because of, is Darren Eales beating Darren Eales in fantasy football or the fact that his team
maybe
maybe
a little bit of both.
It was a good week. He definitely was having a good week. No question about that.
And Atlanta United going on the road and winning back-to-back games. And I don't care if you want to say, well, it was only Colorado and it was only San Jose. No, you go on the road and win back-to-back games and open up a four-point lead, that's a good week.
It's always, yeah, definitely a good week. And you got to cap it off tonight.
It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Look at me trying to make him play tonight. Tomorrow.
We're going to make Hugh do his picks because we're all going to do our picks in our pick six. Some of the key college games, including Georgia and Georgia Tech, key NFL games we all pick. Hate Week. We'll do that next, right here on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. John, Hugh, Wendy, Daryl, AT, the whole gang here, getting ready for this weekend. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to watch everything. I don't.
You're not, John. Unless you DVR everything.
Man. Going to have United.
But you got to pick your spot. Definitely Atlanta United, right. Braves.
Definitely Braves, definitely Falcons. Definitely Georgia Tech, Clemson, definitely UGA, Mizzou.
Well, there you have it. They're not day. There's your weekend.
Hey, where's my tour championship come in all that?
Oh, I ain't going to watch that.
I'm watching Tiger Woods. You're darn right I am.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that to you. I'll watch the highlights. Yeah. Watch the highlights.
All right, let's get some highlights here. We are going to pick here for the week, our pick six here. We have half a dozen games, three college, three NFL. AT's leading. Is that right, Wendy? Is he leading right now?
Of course.
Yes, Arthur Trent in the lead.
Of course.
Indeed.
All right, well, we'll give him a chance. Well, you know what? Since he's leading, let's do this. We'll make him go first. How about that?
Yes.
All right, AT, you got to go first this week. Let's begin with Gig'em, Roll Tide. Texas A&M goes into Alabama. Now, we remember Johnny Manziel. Gig'em, Roll Tide. Who do you like, A&M at Alabama?
And they're rolling right out with a loss. Alabama.
Oh, I thought you was about to say Texas. Oh, no.
Rolling right out with a loss.
Yeah, Daryl, who do you like? I'm just going to go in reverse order.
Snippy.
Alabama and A&M.
I am in third place, and I will go with Alabama.
You're going with Alabama. Wendy, you're choosing?
Bama.
All right. That means you, Hugh. Who
it's
you?
Friday night.
Yeah.
And I'm going with the short thing. Roll Tide.
You did that pretty good. That Roll Tide came out of you pretty good.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, touchdown. Yeah, it's going to be a clean sweep. Alabama going to wipe the floor with A&M. All right, indeed. Georgia at Missouri. Arthur?
Go Dawgs.
Oh, you use Go Dawgs. Now, I know this is always not easy for you, Daryl, because it is, you know, THWG.
Mm-mm, it's not hard. I'm going with Georgia.
Okay. Oh, that isn't hard. And not easy for Wendy either, because she's, you know, one of
she's
them
a gator.
Swamp people light.
I know, but I need to be realistic about this game.
Right.
I'll say Georgia. Georgia.
Going with the dogs.
Yeah, I am too. Man, it's just too easy. Nobody's picking no upsets.
No, I ain't no picking this week.
All right. Clemson is a 16-point favorite down on the flats against Georgia Tech. Arthur Trish, can the people of Orange roll down 85, go into the flats, and knock off the Georgia Tech Jackets, yes or no?
They can, and they will.
You're taking Clemson. All right, Georgia Tech guy. Can you find any way to take your Jackets? Can you tell you any way whatsoever?
I'm praying for them, but I'm going with
Wendy, can they knock off the number three team in the nation?
No, the Tigers take this one easily.
Yeah, easily. Hugh?
Clemson.
Man, this is getting to be too easy, except for the fact that you're all wrong, and Georgia Tech's going to beat them.
That's nice.
No, he just wants to be a contrarian.
No, I do not want to be a contrarian.
He just wants to be a contrarian.
How do you think this is going to happen?
Excuse me,
was there a block kick that was returned for a touchdown and Deshaun Watson lost? If Deshaun Watson could lose in that stadium, if Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence could lose in that stadium. I'm telling you, I think Georgia Tech is a better team than people realize. They just haven't played well.
No, we didn't say that. They haven't played well, but that defense is still trying to find its way.
Yes. All right, when Georgia Tech beats them, I want everybody here to give me props. That's all I ask.
We'll do that.
John, I'll be happy to give it to you. You know I will.
If it happens, but I don't think that's going to happen.
One more from the SEC. And we picked this game because we want Hugh to – because it's Hugh. All right, AT, Mississippi State and the Kentucky Hugh Cats. Do you like
– Hugh Cats.
At home, who do you like here? Kentucky is at home against Mississippi State. Two unbeaten teams. We're going to find out who is the pretender and who is the non-contender here between these two. It's a tough game.
Yeah, it is. And I haven't had a chance to watch anything on Mississippi State all year, so I'm going to go with Kentucky because I've seen them.
All right, you've seen Kentucky play. All right, Daryl, Kentucky and Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Yeah, I saw Mississippi State play K-State. They looked pretty good. Saw them last week. They got up to a little bit of a slow start, a little sluggish against Louisiana. But, I mean, they ended
they
up picking it up.
50 spot.
Yeah, I know.
Or 60 spot, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it like 63 to something? No, I'm going Miss State here.
Kentucky.
Yeah, I knew you'd go with your Kentucky Wildcats.
Shocking pick, Hugh.
I'm picking Kentucky. They got to at least week four before I started getting nervous about picking them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a game where they're going to be thrust into the eyes of the public, and they're going to look at them and say, hey, Kentucky's pretty good. And then next week I'll start to worry.
All right, you know something? That analysis is spot on. Mississippi State is probably the slightly better team, but Kentucky's going to win this game. And he was exactly right.
No, isn't that how it happened last year, though?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened
last
year.
Until they went to Florida.
Well, they went to that 1 year 7-1 a couple of years ago when they were in first place after eight games.
They went to Florida, and then it was like, oh, so I think it's going to be like that this year.
And then they went full. All right, a couple of NFL games. You know what's coming, Arthur, in a moment. But let's begin with Bengals and Panthers, because we'll pick the Monday night game for the Bucs coming up. But here we go. Bengals and Panthers. Cincinnati rolls into Carolina red hot. Well, 2-0 start for Cincinnati going down to Cam Newton country. Bengals and Panthers, what do you like?
Yeah, and I would feel a whole lot better about the Bengals if Joe Mixon was playing. He's going to be out with the knee injury. He just had surgery on a couple of days ago. But I'm going to stick with the redhead Andy Dalton this week.
The red rifle.
Yes, sir.
All right, and Bengals going to Carolina. Daryl?
I'm going with the Bengals.
Wendy, that's two Bengals on the road to Carolina.
Make it three.
Make it three.
Make it four.
Make it four. You guys are all wrong. Carolina's going to win this game.
I want them to.
No, Carolina.
I do not want them
and
to.
Geno Atkins, Geno Atkins is a beast.
I'm a Falcons fan. I
got a family member on that team. I want
Geno Atkins is a beast.
There's truth in that.
Yeah.
I ain't got no title. Like that. All right, here we go. All right, indeed. All right, I hear swamp people busted out of the prison coming up here, you know, and their only trip to Atlanta
you
this season
what?
To play football.
I've
what?
Put up with your stuff.
Here it comes.
All week.
Here it comes.
Long.
I knew it was coming.
Something about smell.
And that other little person who's wearing that red jacket, she's been giving it to ever so nicely.
Hey, y'all, I think he's about to make a decision right now. I see something. Look, y'all.
To wear a hat this week.
John,
look.
First hat.
I'm going with the New Orleans Saints. That shouldn't
would
be
would you take
difficult.
A picture of this and post it? Would you please?
No, I'm right
I'm
here
not
with him. I
doing
got you.
That.
Yes, no, take a picture of this. All right, then I will.
I'm not posting that on.
The hat is already gone.
See.
Moving on.
You know what? No, you have to
I came to give you backup, Arthur. I just felt like all the hate. The hateration on you, man.
It's not Arthur. We don't hate Arthur. We love Arthur.
I've dealt with
hating
it.
On. Not hating Arthur. Hating on.
Yeah, you've been
I just want him to remember this come Monday.
All right, we gotta finish this up. Here.
See, I'm glad you're rolling
he
with
took the
team,
Saints.
Your
who do you
team,
take?
As you
I'm taking the Falcons.
All right, Wendy.
Rise up in brotherhood.
And
let's go.
You,
Lance.
Well,
I've been wrong with these picks all week. I'm a little nervous.
Please
about
pick the
this.
Other team. Do not pick.
Thought you picked Cleveland.
No, the other team.
I
picked
the Falcons.
No.
Oh, that's
no,
that's
no.
Bad.
Take it back,
I knew
you.
I knew
you
this
just
was
jinxed
this.
Take it back.
If we lose, we blame. The Kentucky New Cats.
I knew this was going to happen.
No.
I'm picking the Falcons, though.
And of course, you know I'm taking the Falcons because they're going to win the game. That's why I'm taking the Falcons. They're going to win this game.
Yeah, you might as well play taps now.
Really, Arthur?
Rick and John singing next.
I'm going to get it right one of these weeks.
Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92 in the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.